Hello, and once again, welcome to A Fearless Marriage, your source for the latest tips and advice to build a happy, successful marriage. I am Leslie Dorries, and I am your host. Today, we're continuing the series, 10 Resolutions to Make Your Marriage Better This Year. This series is my way to support you in your efforts to improve your marriage. It is my sincere hope and wish for each of you to have a healthy, fulfilling relationship. By tackling one resolution a month, you will have an action plan to bring about the positive change in your marriage that you desire. If you have followed the steps I talked about for the previous resolutions, be kind and be together, you should be seeing some positive changes in your relationship. In addition, I hope you are reconnecting to the loving feelings you felt towards your partner when you first got together. These feelings are really going to help you as we tackle resolution number 3, let go. What I mean by this is to let go of being right. What was your reaction to the suggestion to let go of being right? If it was a strong one, then this resolution is for you. Take a moment and think about how the need to be right plays out in your marriage. How much does it influence your disagreements with your partner? How does it impact your ability to resolve problems or reach decisions? Needing to be right is one of the 5 losing strategies my colleague Terry Real talks about in his book, The New Rules of Marriage. In my view, it is one of the biggest obstacles to having a healthy, successful marriage. The major challenge for any married couple is how to join 2 independent lives into 1 interdependent one. Having one or both partners needing to be right makes this process all the more difficult. One reason is a challenge is because we use ourselves as a template. We think we're pretty normal, and if doing something a certain way works for us, then it follows that it should work for everyone. We naturally think our way is better, more efficient, more logical, whatever. The problem is that our partner thinks the same thing about their way of doing something. So, who's right? One of the first couples I ever worked with were a prime example of this. She stopped cooking whenever he was in the house because he always corrected her on how she wasn't chopping the onions or boiling the water the right way. My question to him was, were the onions chopped? Did the water boil? Then her way worked. He learned to let go of the way his father taught him how things should be done, and his marriage got a whole lot better. For this couple, it was cooking. But it could be anything. How to load the dishwasher, how to do the laundry, or clean the house. In my marriage, it's how to drive. Well, not really how to drive, but which route to take. You see, I grew up in Los Angeles. I learned to drive on the highways. And when you're trying to get around Los Angeles, you really are trying to get there as quickly as possible. Now, my husband is a good native North Carolinian, and he was born and raised in a more rural part of the state. And so he learned to drive the back roads. And so whenever we would go someplace, well, actually, I should say, when we moved here to North Carolina, he didn't work in the area where we live. And so I was very familiar with the area around where we lived. And so when we would go out someplace and he would be driving and he would go a different way than I would go, I didn't know if it was different or if he just didn't know which way to go. And so we, for quite a while, had some very snarky little interchanges in the car because I would, knowing where we needed to go, being right, said, go this way. And he would respond back to me, I know where I'm going. So who was right? Well, we both are, because each of our way got us to where we were going. And so we thought about it and thought, this is just a really silly thing to be having squabbles about. So we made the decision that whoever is driving gets to pick the route, and if we need to get there quickly, I drive. A variation on this theme, and one that can cause more problems, is when a couple has a difference of opinion. They aren't arguing about the facts, but on how each feels about those facts. the discussion devolves into why my viewpoint is more right than yours. If you can't justify your position in a way that I value, then you're wrong. Lots of discussions, and really arguments, have their beginnings here. Differences over money. How should we spend it, or should we save it? What's the value of something? What's the value of going on vacation? What's the value of a big house or a small house or this size mortgage or that size mortgage or a mortgage at all? Or how do we raise the children? Is having them involved in this activity versus that activity versus staying home? Do we do private school? Do we do public school? These are all differences of opinions that come about even though we know what the facts are. Our child has to go to school. These areas are all touch on what I call the issue swamp. Our deep-seated beliefs, morals, values, expectations, fears, etc. It is here that most of us are willing to plant our flags and go to battle over our right way. This rightness morphs into a position of self-righteous indignation that allows us to dismiss our partner's viewpoint. They become wrong, irrational, emotional, as opposed to just different. They shouldn't feel that way because we don't. This is an arrogant position that could cause great harm. I first learned about this one day when my son and I were having lunch, and it was the summertime, and we, at that point in our lives, we kept the temperature set at 80 degrees, and we were having lunch, and one thing that people have to know about my son is he's very thin. The boy's got no body fat on him whatsoever. So we're having lunch, and he looks at me, and he says, "Mommy, I'm cold." And I look at him, and I'm in my mind, I'm saying, it's 80 degrees. What could he possibly be thinking? And so I actually start to say to him, "You can't possibly be cold. It's 80 degrees in the house." And then all of a sudden I stopped and I thought, well, I'm not cold, but that doesn't mean he's not cold. And so I actually got as far as to say, "You can't poss." And I stopped and I just looked at him and I said, "Go put your sweatshirt on." Now, unfortunately, that same clarity isn't always accessible with our partners. Their position, like my son's, differs from ours, and it might make us a little uncomfortable because it's a request for us to change in some way. And change can be scary, so it's much easier if our partners can just be wrong. This need to be right can manifest itself in another way, too. When we truly are right, factually right. My dad was an engineer, and it used to drive my mom crazy when he would correct her. She would be telling a story, and she would say something like, "Oh, it was a half an inch," and he would chime in and go, "No, it's 5/8 of an inch. Well, if you're measuring carpet, or if you're providing an address to somebody, then getting the facts right matters. But when you're telling a story or relating an event, does it matter if it happened on Tuesday afternoon or Monday morning or last week, or was it, you know, that Susie said this versus Joni saying this? Those kinds of things don't really matter. I have a really good friend who this actually occurred to her one day when she was having a conversation with her husband. They were going on a hike in an area of the town where she grew up, and so she was very familiar with this area. And they're standing there looking out over this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful vista. And he comments on something that he sees in the distance. And he says, "Oh, that's Bald Mountain." Well, she knew it wasn't Bald Mountain, and she was going to start correcting him. And all of a sudden, she had this wonderful aha experience, and she says, "I know it's not Bald Mountain, but does it really make any difference if he knows it's not Bald Mountain?" She actually asked herself what she wanted to accomplish. What outcome was she trying to achieve? And she realized it really didn't make any big difference. This is part of what Dr. Phil often says. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? My colleague, Terry Real, says it kind of a different way. Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Now, this leads us to what we call, you know, a common joke in marriage, that the most successful marriage, the husband just learns to say, yes, dear. And my husband tells a similar story back several years ago, right after we first moved here. There was he and a bunch of the people were in the break room when a newly married coworker came in. And he was really, really upset because he had just had a fight with his wife. It was actually their first fight as a married couple. And as he was describing the fight, all the men at the table, my husband said, all the men at the table were shaking their heads, no. And he's like, but I was right. And they all said, almost in unison, it doesn't matter. Now, most of these men had been married for a while, and I'm not saying that the woman is always right and that the man should just agree. I'm not saying that at all. You can hold your position, and in fact, I think that you must. But my position is that it's one that holds for both spouses. What I'm suggesting is that you each find a way to respect your partner's position. Note, I didn't say that you had to agree with it. Understanding it isn't even necessary, though it might help. The loving thing is to be able to validate it. To do this, to be able to let go of being right, requires an understanding of what being right means and why it is so important to you. Maybe you have a history of not being heard, of your viewpoint not mattering, so you now aggressively put it forward and defend it to the death. Maybe you aren't comfortable with having things be unresolved, the old agree to disagree approach. Taking some time to delve into that will be helpful because in reality, in successful marriages, up to 69% of disagreements go unresolved. Maybe it's just a case of lack of clarity about what the real issue is or the willingness to make a change to accommodate your partner's feelings. Several years ago, I was in an accident. I ended up getting rear-ended, kind of pushed out into another lane of traffic, and luckily I wasn't seriously injured, but the car was totaled. And this was long before either one of my children learned to drive. And so once my son started driving, and I noticed this with my husband too, is I would get really, really agitated when I was the passenger and they were what I felt was too close to the car in front of us. And I'd always be looking for that extra brake on the passenger side of the car. And it was several years of kind of saying to my husband, slow down, or saying to my son, back off. And they would both get really annoyed with me. And then one day I had the epiphany. It was because I wasn't in control of the car. And because I had been in this accident, I was still having a response to that accident. Now, both of them could have told me, oh, just get over it, Mom. You're safe. We're not going to be in an accident. But luckily, both of them, most especially my husband, really has honored that position. Even though he has never been in an accident, he thinks he's driving perfectly safely, and for the most part, he is. But it was my reaction to it, and until I could really understand why I was having this response, we couldn't get past this. So here are some ways that might help you drop your end of the rope in this right or wrong tug of war. First, try to identify if the two of you are differing about facts or just you're having a different opinion or viewpoint about those facts. If it's the first, you're really differing about the facts, determine if it really matters in the grand scheme of things, like my friend in Bald Mountain. If you're actually differing about opinion, see if you can find where you might be able to accept some of your partner's position. The proverbial, oh, I never thought about it like that before. See if you can see it, try to see it from their perspective. Be curious about your partner's experience, not dismissive of it, sort of like when I had the issue with the car. Ask about their experience. Be open to a request that they are making to do it differently. Be curious about your own behavior and thinking. Is your way really the only way, or is it just your preferred way? What would it mean to accept your partner's position? And even if you are convinced your partner is absolutely wrong, does it matter, or can you both maintain your viewpoints respectfully? As Terry Real says, in marriage, who's right? Who's wrong? Who cares? Putting these suggestions into practice may be tough at first, but when you can let go of being right, it means your partner no longer has to be wrong. This frees you from pushing against each other and allows the positive, loving feelings to flow. Again, I would love to know how you're progressing through these resolutions. Share your story by clicking on the link below. I want to thank you for joining me and letting me help you get your marriage to a great place. If you think someone you know could benefit from this information, send them a link or share it on your social networking sites. Until next time, I'm Leslie Dorries, helping you resolve to have a fearless marriage.